Bible study, Wednesday night Bible study. All adults in here, thank you for being with us online. We're glad you're with us. Just follow along. We look forward to Easter. You know, with the Jewish calendar, it happened tonight. This is Passover at sundown, really right now on the Jewish calendar. And so we're looking forward to Easter service. We're looking forward to worshiping God together. We're looking forward to having communion together. Very powerful, always very important. And we're looking forward to hearing the Word of God. We'll hear the Word of God in communion, and we'll hear the Word of God in a message. Praise God. So we are looking forward to it all. Hallelujah. Amen. And we know it's also a great family time, and we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Well, are you ready for the Word of God tonight? Oh, I forgot something. There, would you go get something on my couch? It's a handout. It's a... You know, you'll see the little stack there. Praise God. And hallelujah. Amen. You could go ahead and find Matthew chapter 6, because that's where we're going to begin our Bible study tonight. Praise God. Amen. Thank God for the Word. His Word, among other things, is profitable. How many of you believe the Word is profitable? Amen. I like it. It's plus, minus, minus, plus. He says it's profitable. Amen. I'm not sure I'll get in order here, but it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, amen, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. I think it says it's profitable for instruction in righteousness, plus reproof, correction, we need that sometimes, and for doctrine. Glory to God. Yeah, let's pass these out, and you just hold those. You can keep them in your hands. We probably won't even get to these tonight, because this is such an important part, though, of our series that we're on, that we want everybody to have one of these. And you may have had one of these. We've given these out before. Everybody can have one. Glory to God. We've given them out before. But some people may have not gotten one. This is outstanding from Brother Keith Moore, because you know there's no Bible reason to ever be afraid of anything. Praise God. So those are things that you can look at that'll supplement and go along with our message tonight. You know, we're in the midst of a series that I've entitled How to Experience God's Best. In other words, if you'll do these 12 things, I mean, you could spend a lifetime just learning about these 12 principles. Each one of these principles, each one of these things we're listing, every one of them that could be a mini, you know, 15, 20-point sermon, and you could do nothing but preach on these 12 things for the rest of your life, but we're trying to just put them all in one total package. Sometimes that's beneficial for us to see it like that. So we're looking at how to experience God's best. And what we're doing is we're looking at, based on scriptural principles, spiritual laws, commands of God, we're looking at 12 ways to experience God's best. And so this is actually part 10. We're not even going to begin to try to review. And so far we've looked at 8 of these, no particular order to them, but we've looked at 8 of these, of my principles to experience God's best. So tonight we're going to look at number 9. Amen. Number 9. Which is this, number 9, refuse to worry and cast all your cares over on the Lord and stay out of fear. Fear is such an important thing. You'll never experience God's best unless you learn to stay out of fear. But you do understand, of course, because we're gonna primarily deal with cares and worries and what to do with our cares and worries. But you understand, of course, that worry is a manifestation of fear. If we're anxious and worried about something, then it's fear-based. Amen. It is the root of that worry is fear. Glory to God. Amen. So in Matthew chapter 6, verse number 25, Jesus said, Matthew 6, 25, Jesus said, therefore I say unto you, do not worry about your life. Now the King James Bible says, take no thought. But the New King James says, therefore I say unto you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, because a lot of times that's the main things that people are worried and anxious about. Or what you will put on, is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing. Verse 27 says, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Verse number 31 says, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need. So he knows that you have need of these things. He's just saying there's a better way to get it. He knows that you have need of all these things. Verse 33, very famous. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Verse 34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So here Jesus said about four or five different times, do not worry. Now the King James Bible says, take no thought. But you have to understand something. When the King James Bible was translated, you know, way back, you know, that 400 years ago, something like that, that's what we called Old English. And everybody understood that the word thought in Old English meant don't take any, when somebody heard that, it meant to them, don't take any anxious thought. Don't take any worried thought. Don't have a fearful thought. Robertson's Greek word study says the Old English word thought meant anxiety or worry. So almost every modern translation, almost every single one of them, they say don't worry or don't be anxious, praise God. So don't worry. Jesus said, who said?
Jesus
said, do not worry. So should you worry? Verse 27 again said, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? In other words, worrying about something is futile. Here he's telling us the futility of worry. It doesn't help in the least. I mean, staying up half the night and not being able to sleep. And I've talked to I don't know how many people over the years where they told me I walked the floors and cried and cried and cried and cried and worried and fretted and was anxious about this and about our finances or about my husband's job or about my child. It doesn't help in the least, and it's completely and totally ineffective. Worrying has no power to change anything. Somebody said worry is like a rocking chair. It keeps you busy, but it doesn't get you anywhere. But somebody says, yeah, well, it may not help the situation, but it does show how much I care. It shows I'm responsible. But in reality, worrying does not show that you care, and it's extremely irresponsible. Jesus said, don't worry, so if you do it, it's wrong. It's a sin. Amen. In a moment, we'll read where Peter said we're to cast all our cares and anxieties over on the Lord. In other words, the Holy Spirit, through Peter, talking to us, said we're to cast all of our cares, all of our anxieties over on the Lord. And then, you know, later on we'll read where Paul said, again by the Holy Spirit, don't be anxious about anything. So worry is a sin. Now we're saying, is it responsible to worry? Does it show you care? It's a sin, Jesus. It's futile. It robs us of peace. It torments the mind. Doctors and counselors, I mean, you could talk about this for the next 30 minutes. I won't. But, you know, doctors and counselors, medical doctors and so forth, they'll say, look, the reason a lot of people are sick is because they've worried themselves into sickness and disease. You know, counselors will tell us that it's emotionally damaging, it's physically damaging to our health. In other words, the root cause of a sickness or a disease could be because of worry and anxiety and stress. And then fear, which is a manifestation of worry, glory to God, or worry rather, which is a manifestation of fear, is the polar opposite of faith. Faith is how you obtain the promises. By grace are you saved, by grace are you delivered, by grace do you get your prayers answered, through faith. Faith obtains the promises, Hebrews chapter 11 says. In other words, it appropriates the promises, it receives the promises. And fear is the polar opposite of faith. It's the reciprocal of faith. In other words, it works and operates just like faith, except it's the exact opposite of it. Faith brings the good things that God has promised into our lives, but fear opens the door to the devil in our lives to bring things, negative things, the exact opposite of what God has promised us. You know, the Bible said, Job said, the thing I greatly feared has come upon me. That's interesting, isn't it? You know, it says it made sacrifices for, the Bible says that Job made sacrifices for his children continually just in case they sinned. It said he was afraid they had sinned, and because they were disobeying God and got away from God, something bad was going to happen to them. And then when it did, Job said, I realize the thing I greatly feared. I wasn't trusting God. I wasn't relying on God. I was doing this in fear, and fear-based praying doesn't work. And a lot of people cry out to God in fear. And we'll see very clearly tonight that will not work. It does not work. So it's not responsible to cry out in fear. The responsible thing to do is to cast your care over on the Lord if you really love the person you're praying for and pray in faith for him. Amen. And by the way, you know, scholars tell us, Job's the oldest book of the Bible, and scholars tell us that Job's whole situation lasted about 9 months. So he had a bad year. Because before it happened, he was one of the richest men there was in the whole area. And then after it happened, the Bible says he was twice as rich. He got healed and he was twice as rich. And he lived to be, I forget now, 140 some odd years of old. So if you're going to be just like Job, then you got to get your, you know, you got to overcome. And you got to get healed. And you got to come out of your situation. And you got to be more blessed than you were ever blessed. Glory to God. Amen. So all these things, see, worry is all these things, gives place to the devil. If we in fear worry, that means we are not trusting God. See, people pray and pray and pray, and then they worry. But their worry nullifies their prayer. If you worry, it means you don't really trust God. If you worry, you take it out of God's hands. If it's in God's hands, He can do something about it. If it's not in His hands, then it's in your hands, and, you know, good luck. Praise God. Glory to God. So you see, it's not you're not in a position to receive God's help when you worry. So actually, worrying doesn't help the situation. It's not responsible. It actually hurts the situation. Amen. And that's not being loving. That's not being caring. That's not being responsible. It's being extremely irresponsible. The most loving, caring, responsible thing you can do is stay out of fear and put the situation in God's hand by faith, knowing that He will handle it and He will take care of it. Can you say amen? I heard about a story. Now, this actually, you know, about an editor that wrote something in the paper, a newspaper editor. And this actually happened in the state of Georgia. I heard about this when I was living in Oklahoma, you know, but this happened right in the state of Georgia. And this goes all the way back probably to the 1940s, maybe the 1950s. I've tried to look up this story, but that's kind of hard to find after all these years. But this editor, you know, was a different era back in those times, and this was a kind of a human interest story. So he talked about how this man and his wife were working in their cotton fields. They were hoeing their cottons, getting the weeds out of the cotton. That's what, you know, if you're from Georgia, my brother-in-law Gary there, who worked in agriculture all his life, knows that. That's called chopping cotton. So they were out in the fields and they were chopping cotton, and it was a husband and his wife and their 30-year-old son. And so now the son, you have to understand, still lived at home with his parents, which was not done too much back in those days. It is today, but not in those days, because he was not quite right mentally. I don't know what the politically correct term is today, but, you know, he was mentally challenged, okay? So he still lived with mom and dad. And so they're out, you know, they're several hundred yards, you know, maybe 600 or 700 yards away from the house and so forth. And they're working in their cotton fields. And all of a sudden a storm came up, and it looked pretty threatening, but it's on the horizon. But the father said, well, let's just finish up our work here. Let's finish up our work here. And so they just kept working. But then all of a sudden it just seemed like it was right on top of them. I mean, it was thundering and lightning and, you know, one of these things where it looked like one of those straight line winds like we have, or a tornado might come out of it. And so it just came upon them quickly. So they threw down their hose and threw down their all their equipment. They just started running from the house. But then, again, the storm just intensified. I mean, it was just right on top of them, like a tornado was just going to drop out of the sky and kill them right there. So the mom and dad, they actually just fell to the ground, you know, and just fell to the ground. But the 30-year-old son that lived with them, he kept running. And he ran on for about 30 yards, and he looked back at them, you know, and he stopped and he yelled back at them, and he said, "Come on, Ma. Come on, Pa." He said, "A scared prayer ain't no account." And an editor in the paper, you know, he wrote that story. And that's exactly right. What he was saying is, if you're going to pray in fear, and you're going to, it ain't going to work. And that's exactly right. And we'll see that as we go along tonight. Pray. Everybody say a scared prayer. Scared. Ain't no account. Now look over at 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse number 7. It says, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares about you. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. The Amplified Bible says, casting all your cares, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on Him, for He cares about you with deepest affection and watches over you very carefully. You know, it's like overloading you don't see it too much today, but when I was growing up, you know, sometimes maybe around Christmas with a Christmas tree, and or even at my grandparents' house, they'd have one of those, one socket in the wall, you know, but they'd have a thing that came out. I don't know what you call those things, where you can plug more things in. And I mean, they'd have 20 things on there. And sometimes you'd plug something in there and it'd spark and so forth because it couldn't handle it. Well, I'm telling you, God, our Creator, Almighty God, knows how your system works, just like Ford knows how a Ford car works. And God is saying, listen, you were never designed to bear burdens and to worry and stress and be full of anxiety. It'll blow a fuse. It'll blow a circuit. So you're not being brave. You're not being courageous when you try to bear all those burdens. No, God doesn't say for you to do that. God says, cast all those burdens, all those cares, all those worries over on me, for I care about you. Let me handle it. Let me take of it. Trust me with those things. Amen. Matter of fact, I really like the Phillips translation. It says, you can throw the whole weight of your anxieties upon him, for you are his personal concern. That's comforting, isn't it? Amen. So this says, cast some of your cares over on the Lord. No, wait, it says, cast all of your cares. Cast the big ones. You know, the ones anything you can't handle, anything else, you just do it. No, it says, cast all your cares over on the Lord. I saw a sign on a church one time that read this. It said, don't pray for a lighter load, but for a stronger back. Don't pray for a lighter load, but a stronger back. Well, that's cute and clever and sounds religious, but it's thoroughly unscriptural. Yes, God does grace us, meaning He enables us to do what He has called us to do. He enables us to be a doer of His word. Whatever God calls you to do, whatever He commands you to do, He gives you instructions to do it, and He equips you to do it. But when He's already told us to cast all of our cares over on the Lord, He's not going to grace you to bear those cares and bear those burdens. He's saying, no, that's not what my grace is for. When it comes to cares and burdens and worries, I'm not going to give you the ability to carry a heavy load. Or I'm not just going to take some of those from you and make it a lighter load. I want you to cast all of them over on me and trust me with them and give them to me. Amen. So when it comes to these things, we're to cast all of our cares over on the Lord. Can you say amen? So I got too many things up here tonight. Where's my book? Hallelujah. Glory to God. There it is right there. Good thing it wasn't a rattlesnake, as they say. Amen. Glory to God. So here's a little story that'll help you. You know, this comes from Brother Hagin's book, Casting All Your Cares Upon the Lord. He said, one day after a service, a woman came up to me and said, Brother Hagin, I want you to pray for me. I said, what for? She looked in surprise and said, do I have to tell you? I said, well, I'm not going to pray unless you tell me, because I wouldn't know what we're praying about otherwise. I can't believe for something I don't know about, and I can't agree on something unless I know what I'm agreeing on. So what's your request? Well, she just began to cry, and she said, Brother Hagin, it's the burdens of this life, the cares of this life, the worries of this life. They're just so heavy, I can't bear them. Now listen, this is what I want you to see. She said, I wanted you to pray that the Lord would do one of two things, that He would either take about half of them away, because I can carry half of them. I just can't carry all of them, or else He would give me grace to carry them. Well, my heart went out to her, and I did it my best to help her. I said, Sister, I can't pray either way. That would be unscriptural. You see, the prayer of faith, so he's known as a man of faith, and you know, I know sometimes people come to me and they just want me to use the prayer of faith, but under the conditions they want me to use it, it won't work. She just wants me to pray the prayer of faith and make everything go away. I can't pray that. That would be unscriptural. You see, the prayer of faith will not work in that case. In fact, there is only one kind of prayer that will work in this case. That's the prayer of committing your cares to the Lord. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful, sister, that you and I already have the answer? She looked startled. I said, we have inside information. I meant inside the Bible. I said, you see, the Word of God tells us exactly what to do with our worries, our concerns, our anxieties. And I quoted 1 Peter 5:7. Peter said, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. And the Amplified Bible says, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on Him. For He cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. I told her, you don't have to do it every day. You can do it once and for all. From then on, you're carefree. She looked up at me and she said, you're hard-hearted. You're just hard-hearted. I put all the kindness in my voice I could, and I said, dear sister, I'm not hard-hearted. I didn't write the Bible. I wasn't the one who said that. That's God's word, and God loves you. Yeah, she replied, but you don't know what I've got to worry about. I said, dear sister, I'm sure I don't. But I'm sure I don't know what you've got to worry about. But God knows. He knows everything. And it's God's word that says, casting all your anxieties over on Him. She said, I can't do it. I said, yes, you can. God is just and kind and good. And He didn't ask you to do something you can't do. It seemed to me that anybody would be glad to find this verse in the Bible and would be thrilled to act upon it. But she turned and walked away and said, I just couldn't give up worrying. Amen. So you see, we're not to pray for strength to bear anxieties and burdens. We're to cast them over on the Lord, put them in His hands, and believe for victory according to the promises of God. See, I'm not talking about, some people just seem to take a great deal of comfort in the fact that God understands that they're going through a difficult time. And it's like they're really glad that God is with them. Throughout the scriptures, you read over and over and over and over and over again where God says, fear not, for I am with you. But He's not with you just to pat your hand and comfort you while the devil just destroys your life. In all those scriptures, God is saying, I am with you to help you win the battle. I am with you so that you will overcome. I am with you so that you won't be defeated by the devil. See, He's not with you just for to hold your hand while the devil beats your brains out. No, He's with you to help you. Glory to God. So we're not saying give it to God and He might answer you and He might not answer you. He might help you, might not help you. No, 1,000 times no. When we do what the Word says, when we refuse to worry and we cast our cares over on the Lord and give it to God in faith, then God can go to work for us and cause us to receive the victory His Word promises. Faith works. Anything God has promised belongs to us. Whatever His Word says belongs to us is the will of God for us to have. Prayer works. But when we in fear hold on to our worries and concerns and try to pray at the same time, it won't work under those conditions. Because it's the total opposite of one another. Amen. If we don't really believe God's taking care of things, our prayers, I see a scared prayer ain't no account. It won't work. Amen. Again for Brother Hagin, because I think, you know, he says same thing, but just say it a little bit different way. It might help us. Glory to God. Brother Hagin said this along these lines that we're talking right now. He said, it's easy to find out why prayers don't work all the time for some people. They want you to pray the prayer of faith and get the victory for them, but they want to hold on their cares too. And see, then when they're trying to, you know, when they're not praying in faith, they're actually praying the opposite of faith. They're praying in fear and holding on to their anxieties and cares and worrying about it. Amen. That prayer won't work, and so it doesn't work. Then they go off and tell a lie on God and say, well, God didn't want to do this for me. No, He couldn't. He couldn't under those conditions. So you follow me. Praise God. See, that won't, because that prayer won't work. And then, amen. If you don't commit your cares, he says, and anxieties to the Lord, there will come a time when all your prayers and all the prayers of the church, radio and TV ministers, and everybody else you can get to pray for you will be to no avail. When they all get through, you're going to be right where you were when you started. As long as you hold on to those things yourself, you're going to have to cast your cares over on the Lord and turn them over to the Lord, just like the Bible told you to, if you want to get results. Can you say amen? Now, with that background, let's look at Philippians 4:6. Philippians 4:6. Here we see some very specific instructions that incorporate a lot of things that we've been talking about. Praise God. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6. Philippians 4:6-7. Be anxious for nothing. Amen. How does the King James say it, Margaret? Be careful for nothing. Again, all modern translation, be careful. Don't take on cares. Be careful. Be carefree. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And after you've done verse 6, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Well, you can kind of blow through that and sort of understand what it means, but it's really filled with some wonderful verses. These two verses give us very, very specific instructions that incorporate a lot of things we're talking about. And if, everybody say if we do them in faith, peace will rule in our hearts and minds. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let me tell you what this scripture does not say. It does not say, like those two old farmers, to fall down on your knees and in fear cry out to God to help you. That won't work. It does not say that to ask God, to cry to God and beg God, take away all my cares, take away my cares, take away my cares. That's not what the Word of God says. Jesus told us not to worry. Peter said, you cast your cares over on the Lord. And this, again, understood subject of the sentence, is, you be anxious for nothing. God is telling us, I don't want you to worry. I want you to do something with your cares. I want you to do something with them. I want you to give them to me, to cast them over on me. I'm not going to do that for you. God is saying, you do this. Amen. So that this does not say, go to God and tell him all about your cares, all about your troubles, all about your burdens, all about everything that's worrying you and bothering you, and then God will give you peace. That's the way most people read this, but that's not what it says at all. No, here, Almighty God, the creator of the universe, our designer, the one who perfectly knows how we operate and how we what we should do, tells us exactly what to do. And the instructions he gives us here are a progression. In other words, you have to take step one before you can take step two. Every step that you take is depending on you doing the previous step. Have you ever done something and you didn't follow the steps? You know, like when the girls were growing up, Margaret and I, we used to have we look back with it with fond memories, but it always wasn't pleasant back then, trying to put together their toys for Christmas or something. You know, rocking chairs and this and bicycles and that kind of stuff. Jeez, Aloo. One night, I mean, it's my daughters. I love them with all my heart. I would die for them. And one night at 2:30 in the morning, I went to bed without one. I don't know if it was Sheila's or Heather's. And the bicycle wasn't put together yet. You know, the next morning's Christmas. And I went to bed. I couldn't handle it anymore. I woke up the next morning and Margaret had finished it and put it together. So over the years, we got to where we could really work together on it, you know, and two are better than one, the Bible says. And so every once in a while, you just say, oh, this is simple, and you just look at the pictures and skip over, and then all of a sudden you get to it, and it won't work anymore. And you go back and go, oh, step number three said, do not tighten the bolts, because they knew that when you got to step seven, if those bolts were tightened, it wouldn't work. So you got to do this. You got to take step one before you can take step two, before you can take step three, all right? So very simple, but very powerful. Amen. So watch this. Philippians 4:6, just verse 6, tells us three things to do. First of all, it says, be careful for nothing, King James. Be anxious for nothing. Today we would say, don't worry or have any anxiety about anything. God says, this is God through Paul talking to us. The Bible is God talking to you. Says, I don't want you to worry or have any anxiety about anything. So number one, we are to refuse to worry. And then, of course, we put the whole Bible together. We are to do what Peter says. We are to cast our cares over on the Lord. We're to say, here, Lord, I'm giving this to you. I'm not going to lose sleep about this. I'm not going to be anxious about this. I'm not going to walk the floors worrying about my job, my finances, whatever it is, my children over and over again for days on end. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to turn it over to you. I'm going to put it in your hands. How many of you know it's a good thing to put something in God's hands? So we are to refuse to worry. That's step number one. We're to cast our cares over on the Lord. Amen. Because He will not take them from us. He tells us to deal with them and not the worry. Give them to me and quit worrying. Amen. Now listen, when you're facing enormous difficulties, serious problems, challenging problems, fear everywhere, the devil screaming at your mind, it can be challenging. I'm not telling you that this is easy. I'm just telling you that this is what the Word of God tells you to do. And whatever God tells you to do, you can do. Amen. Can you say amen? I said, whatever God tells you to do, you can do. Because if God told you to do something and didn't give you the ability to do it, then he would be unfair and unjust. And he's not unfair and he's not unjust. Whatever he tells us to do, when he tells us to do something, like I said earlier, he does two things. He gives us the instructions on how to do it. And number two, he gives us the grace or the ability to do it. Glory to God. He empowers us to do it. God's commands, I like to say it this way, God's commands are God's enablements. Whatever he commands you to do, he enables you to do. So don't ever say that you can't do what God says you can do, ever. That's tempting sometimes. But don't ever say you can't do what God says you can do. You can do it. Glory to God. Amen. And so, you know, it doesn't mean that it's necessarily easy. You know, I try to live a carefree life, a worry-free life, but I pass up marvelous opportunities to get into deep stress and deep worry and deep anxiety over a lot of things. And sometimes I'll find myself lying awake in bed at night, you know, worrying about something. I'll have to grab myself by the ear and say, no, you don't. No, you don't. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do it. So again, to help us, you know, see some things, stories help us. You know, they're like windows. They let in the light. Brother Hagin says, I was holding a meeting in South Texas once, and a full gospel minister contacted me through the pastor to see if I would talk to him. He was in a lot of trouble. I knew him, so I said, tell him I will talk to him. Again, because he knows Brother Hagin's greatly used of God and a man of faith, so he wants him to pray all his problems away. So he came to the town and told me his problems. Among other things, he was being sued, and that was going to cost him a lot of money in lawyer's fees alone. Troubles were piled on him. He was so nervous, he hadn't eaten for days. His stomach was jumping because he was worried, fretful, and full of anxiety. He couldn't even keep water on his stomach. He couldn't sleep at night. He was full of anxiety with all of this staring him in the face. Now, I don't care how many pills you take and how many exercise programs you take, it'll all be for vain if you let worry eat your lunch. He wanted me to pray the prayer of faith that would straighten out all his problems. I realized I had to deal with his anxieties. See, that's my point. Number one, deal with your anxieties. God is saying, I want you to do something with those cares. I want you to give them to me. Before I could get the prayer of faith to work. So I began to talk to him along these lines. I gave him the same scriptures, the ones we've been encouraging him to cast all his cares, anxieties, worries, and concerns on the Lord before taking his problems to the Lord in prayer. He said, why won't the Lord hear me? I've prayed and prayed and prayed. I've done everything I know to do, and I can't find any relief. He was full of anxiety and fear. That's why. I begin to tell him what the Bible says. And this born-again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking, Bible-believing, divine healing-believing, miracle-believing, full gospel minister said to me, well, everybody doesn't have as much faith as you have. I said, it isn't a matter of faith, dear brother. You've got the same Bible I've got. I'm not telling you to do something I haven't done. I don't like to magnify problems, but let me tell you a few problems I've faced. And I told him, and they were far worse than what he was facing. Well, when he saw that, he began to soften up a little bit. He asked, what did you do? He saw I had been a lot worse off than he was. I replied, I never missed a meal. I never missed a week of sleep. I'll tell you what I did. Matter of fact, his wife Aretha, when they were first married and they were young and, you know, they were taking the kids to the house, and he was fumbling around trying to get in the house, and they were young in the Lord and finances were tough, and they had all kind of church problems and this problem and that problem, and she didn't quite understand yet because she's his young wife, some of the things he learned and understood. And she said to him, she said, I don't believe that you'd worry about it if me and both the kids just suddenly dropped dead. And he said to her, he said, well, it'd be too late to worry about it then. Well, later she learned to cast her cares on the Lord. He said, I never missed a meal. I never missed a week of sleep. I'll tell you what I did. And so I read these verses to him, you know. I told him I got down by my bed and read these verses to the Lord and said, now see, you told me right here, don't fret. Don't have any anxiety about anything. See, he got out of bed to do this because he was being tempted to worry. Yeah, you're going to be tempted. See, do not fret or have any anxiety. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to do what you told me to do. You said in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, what we just read. I'm bringing this problem to you. I'm turning it over to you. Now I'm going to thank you for the answer and go to bed. Now you've got it. You work on it while I sleep. Do you mean that it worked out easy for you, the preacher said? I said, I didn't say it was easy. I'd wake up in the middle of the night at first, and that problem would hit me. It'd be staring me in the face. I'd start thinking about it. I couldn't go back to sleep. So I got out of bed, got on my knees, opened my Bible, and did the same thing again. I'd say, there it is, Lord. I'm not going to take it back. So you got to give it to him, and you got to keep it in his hands, because you'll be tempted to take it back. You know, people used to come, you know, we used to tell people that we don't have an altar per se, but people come lay your burdens down on the altar, and they'd come lay them down, all right, but then they got up, they'd pick them up and take them back to their seat with them. And that won't work. A scared prayer ain't no account. Amen. So the devil is trying to bring it back to me. He brought a picture of it to me. It worked on my mind. But I just gave it to the Lord and refused to take it back. I said to the preacher, I had a little struggle there for a day or two, but I got it over into his hands. I rested, and he worked on it. Then this preacher asked, and you'd think he would know the Bible works. He said, will that work for me? I said, certainly it will work for you. All right, he said, I'll do it. I'll do it myself. I said, I'll agree with you. Go home and do it. I saw him afterwards, and this is what he said. He said, oh, I had a struggle. I couldn't sleep, but I got out of bed three times, read those verses you gave me. I knew they were in the Bible, but I had never acted on them in my life. And I said, Lord, it's yours, and I'm going to turn it over to you. And I finally went to sleep. The next night, he said, it was a little easier. But the third night, it was a breeze. And after that night, I could eat and sleep, and my stomach didn't jump anymore. Then after about 10 days, they contacted me about the lawsuit and said, this suit's been dropped. Things have been taken care of. Everything is fine. I thought, dear God, that lawsuit nearly killed me. But as soon as I got it into your hands, you worked it all out in just a few days. And that's how it works. Can you say amen? So number one, turn your cares over to the Lord. Cast your cares over on the Lord and refuse to worry. And then after you've done that, it says, look at it. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So number two is let your requests be made known to God by prayer and supplication. Now, once you've given your prayers to the, once you've cast your cares over the Lord, now talk to the Lord and tell him what you want. Amen. See? Amen. Based on the Word of God, based on His promises, tell him what needs to happen. Ask Him to take care of the situation after you've, you know, cast your care on Him. Glory to God. Whatever it was that was causing you to be so upset and worried, whatever it was, whatever it is tonight, I guarantee you God has an answer for it. There's no such thing as there not being an answer for what's troubling you that's not found in the Word of God. You say, I don't know what's in there. Well, that doesn't mean it's not in there. Praise God. There is no Bible reason, like I said, ever to be worried, to ever be anxious, or ever to be afraid. No Bible reason whatsoever. God in His Word, over and over and over and over and over and over again, has promised to meet our every need. He's promised to deliver us. He's promised to give us victory. He's promised to protect us. He's promised to take care of us. Amen. And He has promised us victory, or He's already given us the victory. So you go and find scriptures, more than one, scriptures plural, that relate to your particular situation, that cover or deal with your particular situation, and in faith, it won't work unless you do it in faith. In faith, ask for and receive what He promised you. Now you've already cast your care over on the Lord. Now you ask God for what He's already promised you in His Word. See, those promises are acted by faith. They're not automatically yours. God gave the Israelites the promised land, but that first bunch never went in. But God gave it to them. You can't say God didn't give it to them. No, they didn't go appropriate it. They didn't go in and possess the land. You have to possess what God gives. Just like a sinner, Jesus has already died for every sinner that will ever live on the face of the earth. But they're not automatically saved. They have to, by faith, receive Him as the Lord and Savior. And if they don't, they're not saved. But it belongs to them. So you have to appropriate by faith what belongs to you. And you can do that after you've cast your care over on the Lord. And so after you've done all that, amen, then like this story, Brother Hagin and this man, when you're tempted to get back into worry, refuse it and ignore it. Keep your cares cast over on the Lord. I know it. You know it by experience. You give those cares to the Lord, but it'll try to come back on you. But what are you supposed to do when the devil shows up? You're supposed to resist him. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Amen. because a scared prayer ain't no account. Worry nullifies prayer. Worry nullifies our faith. I can't say, God, I believe, and then go out here and tell you how worried I am and how anxious I am and how upset I am and how it's not working. This wipes out that. You understand that? Glory to God. Amen. Worry means we do not believe the situation has been taken care of. It means we are not trusting God and worrying about, you know, whether it's our job or our finances or our marriage or our kids or our health. It means you've taken it out of God's hands. Now, if it's out of God's hands, whose hands is it in? I'm going to handle this. I'm going to take care of this. I'm going to finagle around and I'm going to figure this out. And with my might and with my strength and with my power, I'm going to fix it. And sometimes people can fix things to a certain extent, but sooner or later you're going to rub it against things that you cannot fix. And you see, I quoted James a while ago where he says, submit to God and resist the devil and he will flee from you. But if you back up to the previous verse, it says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Putting it in your hands and saying, I'm going to handle this. I'm going to fix this as being proud, and God resists the proud. See, submit to God. Well, submit to God in this case would be do what the Word of God tells you to do. Cast your care over the Lord. Give your care over on the Lord. Then you can resist the devil successfully. But if you don't first submit to God, you cannot successfully resist the devil. And it's quite interesting today. I know this, but it hit me as I was thinking about this afternoon. We read a while ago, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7. What does the previous verse say? God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Humble yourselves, verse 7, casting. When you cast your cares over on the Lord, instead of trying to fix it yourself, you're being humble. And God gives grace. He gives power. He gives help and comfort to those that are in grace. But those that are proud, see, God resists that. He can't help you when you're proud. Glory to God. So keep it in his hands. Amen. Don't cut yourself off from the grace of God. So number one, refuse to worry. We got to hurry. Number one, refuse to worry. Number two, let your requests be made known unto God. And then it says, with thanksgiving. I got a hold of that years and years and years ago. You know, if somebody takes care of something for you, you know, it's kind of a big deal. And somebody said, I'll take care of that for you. What would you say? Thank you. Because it's taken care of. You know they're going to take care of it. You know it will be. Or if somebody gives you something, what do you say? Thank you. Now, if they haven't taken care of it, if they haven't done it for it, you don't say thank you. That's an after the fact. Thank you is faith. Somebody said the prayer of faith always ends with, thank you, Lord. See, because now you got to remember, we walk by faith and not by sight. It may not look like, you may not see any change yet, because we walk by faith. We walk by what God's Word says. We walk by faith and not by sight. May not feel like it or look like it yet, but because we know by faith God has taken care of it and is taking care of it, if you really, really believe it because you've given it to Him and you've asked Him to take care of it, then you say, thank you, Lord. So when you give it to God and you let your request be made unto God in prayer, and then you say, thank you, Lord, glory to God. So number three is express thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Like I said, I saw that years and years ago. I remembered just before I came out here that Brother Andrew said, so he picked up on this. He says, on this verse, he says, notice that all our supplications are supposed to be made with thanksgiving. Andrew Womack. That's very important. Sometimes people just tell the Lord all their problems and call that prayer. That's complaining. Reminds me of Charles Capps. When he was very new in things, very, very beginning, he said, I went to church all my life, but I didn't know anything. And so he'd begin to learn a few things so the Lord could kind of, you know, you can't talk to a four-year-old about engineering. They don't understand, you know, how to add and subtract yet. But he said, I'd learned a few things. And so now could talk to me on a level. So he said, I was praying away. And he said, the Lord just interrupted my prayer. Right in the middle of my prayer, you know, just on the inside of me, I heard the Lord said, what are you doing? He said, well, Lord, I'm praying. He goes, no, you're not. You're complaining. And then he said, by the way, he said, you keep telling me what the devil done. I'd appreciate it if you wouldn't tell me what the devil's doing. You're just complaining to me and telling me what the devil's doing. He said, that's complaining, Andrew said. When we voice our needs to the Lord and wrap them in thanksgiving, that moves us into the realm of faith, over into the realm of faith. If there isn't thanksgiving in every prayer we pray, then we aren't abounding in faith. Paul said we're to give thanks when we make our request to God. A request is something asked for. Amen. We wouldn't request something to happen that's already happened. See, we can't see that it's happened yet. So we're supposed to thank the Lord for doing things before He does them. And that's what the Bible calls faith. So that's why this scripture says faith. Now, when you do those three things, refuse to worry. Let your requests be made known unto God. Express thanksgiving. Do it with thanksgiving. Then, and only then, does verse 7 kick in. Then it says, verse 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. Think about that. Oh, we can read over this and just skip what it's saying. The peace of God, which passes, better translation is, the peace of God, this Philippians 4, 7, guys, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. The peace of God, when it comes on you, will surpass your understanding. What's your understanding? Your understanding is the things that you know in your mind, things you can reason in your mind. You know, you got all these reasons out here that tell you you better worry, you better be afraid, you better lie awake at night and squall and bawl and kick and fuss and be upset. You'll have peace that passes better, that surpasses all understanding. Surpasses means it transcends. It's stronger than. It's greater than. All understanding. Your understanding encompasses everything connected to the mind and reasoning. In other words, God's peace will transcend. It's greater than any thoughts that try to make you feel anxious or try to make you feel fearful. But you won't have that peace until you do verse 6. Glory to God. And this peace will guard or keep, glory to God, or protect, guard, keep, protect your hearts and minds from what? From anxious thoughts. Glory to God. In other words, that very peace, when those anxious thoughts come, it'll actually protect you from those thoughts. You'll have that peace. See, it passes understanding. And so people will look at you and you'll be smiling and you'll be happy and you're going, dear God, how can that, man, do you know what he's facing? Do you know what she's dealing with? And we're not talking about stick your head in the sand religion. We're not talking about being stupid. We're just talking about you've given it over to the Lord. You really believe he's taking care of it. You're thanking him for it on a daily basis. Woo, glory to God. And because of that, this supernatural peace actually envelops you. And it causes you to go beyond mental reasoning and beyond mental understanding and to have this peace. And it guards your heart and mind. So I like to say it this way. And you know, you can do what the Word of God says and experience great peace. And because you've put it in His hands in faith, experience victory over the thing that was trying to hurt you. Or you can be tormented in your mind and filled with anxious thoughts and worried about your finances, worried about your job, worried about this, worried about that. And because it's in your hands, experience defeat. I remember, I know we're long tonight, it's after 8, but I remember years and years and years and years and years ago, I lived in Tifton, Georgia in those days, and I got a call, my younger brother, you know, had been working at his job. He had chemically burned his eyes on the job that he was working at. They rushed him to the doctor. The doctor cleaned out his eyes, washed his eyes, bandaged, you know, took whatever they do with your eyes, you know, and they put these two big giant things on his eyes, and they said, we don't know. We'll take these bandages off. He may be blind. They may be permanently damaged. And they called me and said, would you come down and pray for your brother? Of course, I would. You know, he's 2.5 hours away, and I jumped in my car, and I'm telling you, I wanted to fall apart. I wanted to just worry. I wanted to be full of anxiety. I just wanted to just, you know, he's my younger brother. He, you know, in those days, he's like 6'2", and he's a big old guy, and he and I shared the same room together, and, you know, and I loved him and cared about him, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, he's going to be blind for the rest of his life. And but again, I'm saying, if I want to help him, I cannot drive down here for 2.5 hours and be full of fear and be full of worry and be full of anxiety and go in there, you know, half bawling and squalling and, oh God, a scared prayer ain't no account. If I want to help him, I've got to keep the care of this over on the Lord. I've got to stay out of fear, and I've got to go down and pray the prayer of faith for him. That's how I can help him. Amen. And so, yes, there was a battle. And I got down there and you know, walked in the room, and there he was, you know, because he can't see. Of course, instantly, it all wants to come back on him. But, you know, it's like, no, I refuse in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I reject you. I submit to God. I keep this, the care of this, and I prayed the prayer of faith for him. Now, I don't know what was, you know, this is not one of those things you can prove either way, but I do know this. When they took the bandages off a couple of days later, his eyesight was perfect, and there was no problems whatsoever. Amen. So you can have peace in the midst of hell and victory, or you can be tore up and stressed out and full of anxiety and then be defeated by the problem too. Choose wisely. Amen. Stand up with me. Glory to God. Now, I know this is a Bible study, not a Sunday morning, but just real quick here. Why don't you close your eyes? Got anything right now that's eating your lunch, so to speak? It's causing you to be worried and fearful and anxious. Why don't you just do what the Word of God says? Why don't you just say, Lord, I just right there where you're standing, say, Lord, I'm giving this to you. I know from experience that sometimes it'll sneak up on you. And I've gone sometimes for 3 or 4 weeks and it hit me. My problem here is I'm worried about this. But I didn't realize, you know, this is eating my lunch. Just say, I'm gonna give this over to you, Lord. I cast the care of this over. I put it into your hands. And I ask you to take care of it according to the promises of your word. And I thank you that you are. I thank you that you are. I thank you that you are. And I receive your peace right now in Jesus' name. Glory to God. I can see that a lot of people aren't just saying, close the service down. They're actually doing that. So, and just keep it over on the Lord. Can you say amen? Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you for being patient as we went over. You are dismissed. Thank you, Lord Jesus.